You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 7. Peter and I finally talk about the AHL, who is on the fringe of being called up, who is already being called up, and we check in with Zach Devine of Dauber Prospects, who has his eyes on the AHL pretty much every night of the week. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 7 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes or any of your favorite podcatchers. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I'm once again joined by my co-host, Peter Harling, who's been road tripping all across Ontario. Went to like 4 games last week. He even got into an AHL action game. Peter, how's the traveling so far?
My car is almost 4 years old and it's got 200,000 plus kilometers on it, but it still purrs like a kitten. I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I am just fantastic. I am on the IR with a LCL strain in hockey the other night. Blew my knee out. And yeah, so I'm just supposed to sit and rest. So why not watch lots of hockey?
There you go. You can stream it every day, watch a different game across the CHL.
Yeah, that's kind of my plan.
There you go.
And the AHL game you got to, Toronto and Lehigh Valley. So let's get right off the bat. Brendan Leipzig, whatever you pronounce it. Leading scorer, how is he?
I'm pretty sure it's Leipzig. He's a great player. I really like him. He's a little bit undersized, but as you mentioned, he's leading the entire league in scoring with 22 points, 6 goals. He's a lightning quick little player. He's a playmaker. He's much better at setting up plays than he is at finishing them. He's got quick hands. He's got some things to work on in his game. There was a situation where he had the puck in the defensive zone behind the net, and he stopped, he put his head up, had some pressure coming, and he made a play, turned out to be a turnover, turned out to be a goal against. So he's got some fine tuning yet to do in his game. And one of the calling cards that he had for his profile when he played in junior was he was a hated player. There was a situation where he got under the other team's skin after he skated behind the other team's net, grabbed the goalie's water bottle and had a drink of the goalie's water bottle. And a whole bunch of guys came over and gave him a bit of attitude about it. I think that if he can add that element of his game at this level, it would give him another tool in the toolbox that he can use as a stepping stone to get up to the NHL level. But yeah, he's a prospect that's on the rise for the Leafs for sure.
Yeah, and you see a lot of the agitator who can score, like a Brad Marchand or Brendan Gallagher, that type. So if he can keep that dirt bag, as Brian Burke would say, keep that dirt bag in him, he definitely will succeed in the NHL, I believe.
He's got the skill to do it, yeah. I think he could be on the short list of call-ups for players when the Leafs come looking later on through the season.
Yeah, so a guy that's just less than a point per game, Kasperi Kapanen, 16 points in 18 games played. When he played the Lehigh Valley, how'd he look?
He looked okay. He had one really nice rush where he drove up the middle and split the defense, got in on goal and made a little move, and you know, he had some pressure on him and he kind of lost the handle and failed to cash in. But he's got 9 goals and 7 assists for 16 points in 17 games, which is a nice point total. He's definitely playing better than he played last year. I watched him a couple times last year. I made it to a few Marley games. I get Leafs TV this year, so I've watched him play. I had kind of given up on Kapanen. He's definitely got the skill. He scored the gold medal winning goal at the World Juniors at home ice in Finland for the Finns last year, and that's all nice, but there's too many times I watch him with the puck on his stick and hold on to it and skate it and move into the corner and whatnot, and the play just dies. And he doesn't seem to survive very well in front of the net or have much success grinding it out in the corners. So it, you know, the end of last season, I had written Kapanen off, thinking that he wasn't ever going to make it to the NHL. Now, he's having a nice season right now, I'm still not convinced that he's going to make it into the NHL. So if you have fantasy hockey stock in Sami Kapanen, I think this is a good opportunity to sell.
Yeah, and that would be Kasperi Kapanen, not Sammy. Come on,
Sammy's his dad.
Yeah, come on,
right.
Peter. So many dads and sons now that you, obviously you're going to get them mixed up. Like, it's ridiculous how many of these young kids have NHL blood in them.
Yeah, it's my age showing through, right? If I was 20, I'd like, who the heck is Sammy Kapanen? Who's he talking about?
Yep, everybody Google Sammy Kapanen, figure it out, and that's Kasperi's dad. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Another guy that you were kind of impressed by, Andreas Johnsson. Johnson?
Yeah, that's a funny story about his name, actually. He changed the spelling of his name this season. He added the second S to make it Johnson, like Kenny Johnson formerly, I believe, from a long time ago as well. But until this season, it has been Andreas Johnsson. He's a player that had been playing in Sweden in the SHL, and he's a late round pick by the Leafs, and he seems to be a bit of a hidden gem find for the team. He came over last year and for the playoff run and quickly got concussed pretty badly. I was at that game and it was against Albany and he got rocked. He got a very, very dirty check to the head that knocked him right out. But this week I watched him play. He's obviously healthy now. And he is an offensive player. He's a playmaker as well. And what I like about him and what I think will translate well into the next level is that he does everything at a very high speed. He thinks quick. He makes very quick decisions, one-touch pass kind of player. He scored a really nice power play goal that he combined with Brandon Leipzig, who made a slap pass to Andreas Johnsson, who was in front of the net. And rather than try and stop it and corral it, he just redirected it. It was going about 10 feet wide, and he redirected it into the top corner. And, you know, the goalie just doesn't have much chance on that. But he sets the pace, and he carries the puck with confidence in the offensive zone. His shot, however, is a little slow and predictable. And his release, he had a situation where the puck came to him in front of the net, and it's not a play you could one time, but he really struggled getting the shot off. And by the time he did, there was nothing left to shoot out. The goalie had come right out and challenged him. But those are the situations that you gain experience playing in the AHL and you learn. And I think he does have NHL upside. He still needs a little bit of seasoning in the AHL. So maybe not this year, maybe later on in the season, but come training camp next year, he might be a prospect to watch closely.
Yeah, and he's leading the Marlies with 4 power play goals, so he's definitely able to take advantage with that man advantage. One of the AHL rookies, Andrew Nielsen, what's the word on this guy?
He's a really impressive player. I went to the game with my dad, and he's in love with this player. He told me I had to watch Andrew Nielsen, and he's hard to miss because he's a big guy, and he's a nice skating defenseman. He didn't stand out negatively in the defensive zone. He made some pretty good plays. He plays both special teams, a lot of minutes. Travis Dermott is injured, so he wasn't playing at the game I went to, but Andrew Nielsen is the player that would be the first call-up defenseman, I think, if the Leafs need to call someone up. Now, they might go with someone who's got a little bit more experience, like Victor Louvre or Renat Valiev, who made his pro debut last year. This is Andrew Nielsen's rookie season, so they might go with a veteran player, but in the long run, I think Andrew Nielsen is one of the Leafs' top prospects on defense, and I think he's a player that has fantasy value in a variety of different styles of leagues.
Interesting. So the Marlies are looking good. Did they win the game against Lehigh when you went?
They did not. It was 3 or 4 to 1, something like that. And a couple other players that I watched who might be on some teams' fantasy rosters still, maybe on their prospect bench. Milan Mihalik, Brooks Like, and Colin Greening, who all got sent down to the AHL to make room for the Leafs' super rookies. If you're holding on to any of these guys in any of your fantasy leagues, just stop waiting. Just drop them right now. They looked terrible.
That is the best fantasy advice we're going to give in the last minute and a half. If anybody has those guys, they shouldn't even be playing fantasy hockey. That's just brutal.
Yeah. Well, I haven't checked the Fantrax ownership numbers on these guys. I hope it is below 10%. But if you're one of those like 10% guys that's holding on to these players, cut bait.
Oh, man. I hope it's below 5%. That's just – I don't even know what's the reason for those guys. Like, you might as well just go pick up other young prospects that could have a measly chance at, because I don't think these guys are touching the NHL again.
No. I'll look it up for the show notes and we'll put it in there.
Perfect.
All right, so that's what's happening with the Marlies players and some players who I think are close to coming to the NHL or very, very far away from the NHL. Throughout the league, though, Paul, there's some other players that I kind of want to ask you about that either have recently been recalled to the NHL or already had a cup of coffee or are on the cusp. So let's talk about some of those guys. And the first one is obviously Jake Guentzel, who made his NHL debut a few games ago. What's your thoughts on Mr. Guentzel?
Yeah, he's played 5 games, definitely showing great skill. 4 points, 3 goals, 1 assist. He debuted with 2 goals, and he's playing on the wing with Malkin, so that's definitely going to be a big production boost. I just don't think he's going to last the entire year. And as we're recording this, the Penguins are playing the Dallas Stars, and he was scratched, a healthy scratch. So is this going to come sooner rather than later? I don't even think he gets to maybe 9 games. I think he's going to head back to the AHL real quick.
He achieved quite a milestone in his first game. He and Mary Lemieux are the only Penguins players in history to score a goal on their first shift off their first shot in the first game.
Yeah, and those are large boots to fill.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we're not saying he's Mary Lemieux, but that's a pretty amazing accomplishment. Let's talk about another player. Let's go out west now, and let's talk about Mikko Rantanen. How's your thoughts on how he's been playing this season?
I think he's going to stick the entire year. He's got 10 points in 17 games played. He's playing mostly on the wing with Nathan MacKinnon and Matt Duchene, so that definitely is going to help him. He's also playing a ton of power play time. He's already got 240 average of power play time. So he's getting every chance he could ever want to produce, and he is producing. So I think he's going to stick for the entire year. He doesn't hit as much as I thought he was going to hit. I thought he was going to be a little bit more of a power forward, but he's only got 2 hits on the year in 17 games. So that might just be playing in Colorado. I don't know how they're lenient on their calling their hits. He's definitely not playing in New York because he would probably have 30 or 40 if he was playing with the Islanders, because they're just kind of ridiculous with their hits. That's why I'm not a big fan of hits in fantasy hockey, is because every arena is different. They call different hits as different hits or just bumps or bruises. So, yeah, I definitely thought Mikko Rantanen was going to be a bigger multi-category guy, but he's putting up points at a .59 per game, so nothing bad about that. On pace for 45 points, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, he has 8 points in his last 5 games. Here's a little interesting thought on hits. I learned this from Jeff Merrick a few weeks ago. The definition of a hit in the NHL rulebook is when you hit a player that has the puck and it causes a turnover. Has to cause a turnover in order for it to officially be registered as a hit. So you've got guys like Leo Komarov and Matt Martin that are running around hitting anything that moves, and they're getting recorded stats for hits when they're hitting guys. But you know, if you hit the player and the puck comes loose and it goes to that player's teammate, mm-hmm. it's not a turnover. That shouldn't count as a hit.
Interesting.
Indeed. Didn't we do stay or nay? Or no, not stay or nay. Would you rather? Rantanen and Nick Ritchie in our first episode.
We did. I'm pretty sure I went with Rantanen, and I'm pretty sure you went with Ritchie.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still too close to call. I mean, early returns looked good for Ritchie because he made the NHL when Rantanen had a slow start, but it's looking good for Rantanen now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, listeners, stay tuned to see how that one pans out. Let's move on. Let's talk about Jacob Varana. What's going on with him, Paul?
Just got called up to the Washington Capitals, and I very much am praying to the gods that he gets put on a top two line role, top six role. This kid deserves it and needs it to be productive in the NHL. He's not going to do anything on the third line. He's not going to do anything on the fourth line. If Barry Trotz is smart, and we haven't seen him play rookies very smartly back in Nashville. They didn't have very many rookies come up. So hopefully, because it's Washington and different GM, and they play this guy where he needs to be played. And if he ends up on Ovechkin's other wing or Backstrom's wing, he definitely can put up points. He has very high skill, puck skill. I really hope he gets a chance.
Is he in the NHL right now?
He just got called up Thursday today as we're recording this, so hopefully he sticks and hopefully he gets some good production minutes.
Interesting. Yeah, I saw him play against the Marlies in the playoffs last year, and he is a dangerous offensive player. You're bang on there. He's got the skills to pay the bills. That's a file that you're going to want to watch closely if you own him in any of your leagues. And if he's on your prospect bench, you might want to be moving him up into a scoring position. What about Mr. Quenneville? What's going on with him?
Good old John Quenneville from the New Jersey Devils. First round pick, number 30 overall. I really enjoyed watching this kid play in Brandon Wheat Kings. So Brandon's been a fun team to watch for the past 2 years, I suppose. So, yeah. He just got called up as well, so we haven't seen any NHL time from this kid. But 17 points in 19 games for the Albany Devils, that he's definitely able to produce as well. I don't know where he's going to fit in on these New Jersey Devils. Is he there just because Taylor Hall's hurt? Probably. I don't think he's going to stick the entire year, but when he is up, you might want to just put him on your watch list. I don't think you should go out and pick him up. I don't think you should take him out of your prospect list if you only have so many moves to bring up to the NHL, but I definitely think you should keep an eye on this kid and see how well he transitions into the NHL.
Definitely. New Jersey is a team that's been starving for offense for some time, so if he gets a chance to play and he can produce some points, it'd be very hard for New Jersey to send him back. Let's talk one more. Let's go to Nashville this time and talk about Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, another guy that has been called up maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. He's got 12 games already. He's only got 3 points, and those are 3 goals. So he's going for the Cy Young Award for all you baseball fans. That joke just flew by Peter because he has no idea what I'm talking about. But
who's Cy Young?
A great, great baseball pitcher that liked to win a lot of games.
You know what the problem with baseball is?
What's that?
It's not hockey.
That you read my mind. I like it. But Kevin Fiala finally is getting NHL time. It's been 3 years, 4 years. He was drafted in 2014, round one, number 11 overall. And like we said about Barry Trotz, he didn't like to play his rookies. And this was one of the kids that just didn't get any time. He got 6 games over the past 2 years. Barry Trotz leaves, Peter Laviolette comes in, and this kid's starting to get some time. So I think he's going to not be a top goal scorer, but he can put the puck in the net. Clearly he's got 3 goals in a very short career so far. I don't think, again, you should put this guy on your NHL team if he's on your prospect team, but again, put him on your watch list. This guy could heat up real quick, and Nashville's a team that they play well together, play a specific system that every player needs to get on board. So I think Fiala has that in his game, and I really hope he does pick up a lot of production.
Yeah, and every player develops and progresses at a different pace. And just because a player jumps into the NHL and player B takes a few years and maybe some seasoning time in the AHL doesn't mean that he's less likely to reach his upside. So Fiala's been slow cooked for a while in the minors. And last year, a lot of people thought this is going to be his season to break out. Might have been a year early. It could be now. Sounds like he's trending in the right direction for sure. Let's wrap up segment one here, Paul, and take a break. And when we come back, let's do a tour through the AHL and talk about some of the players who are making the news.
All right, we're back with segment two. I'm just naming this right now. Don't even have it in notes. Didn't even talk about this. AHL Rapid Fire. I'm going to throw out names. Peter, you're just going to one-off quick hits. Let me know what you think of these guys. Let's start with AHL rookie Brendan Pierlini from Arizona.
Brendan Pierlini almost made Arizona out of his rookie season. Then he had a wrist injury and he went back to junior and kind of struggled for a while before finishing pretty well. This is his first year as a pro, and so far, so good. He's got 11 goals and 5 assists for 16 points in 13 games. He can play center or wing, so he's a little bit versatile that way, and he's got some size. I think no rush on this player with the youth that Arizona already has on their roster, so leaving him in Tucson makes sense for the immediate future. But I think the early returns on his season this year are really promising, and he's certainly a player you want to either watch list or hold.
And speaking of Tucson, congratulations to the Roadrunners getting a team. That's pretty exciting. We haven't even discussed AHL pretty much at all this year on the podcast. So Tucson Roadrunners, welcome to the AHL. All right, let's move to Taylor Beck, Bakersfield, Edmonton Farm Team. What's with Beck?
Taylor Beck, he could play left wing or right wing. He's only 25 years old, so he's still got some potential. He's 6'2", 203, so he's a big player who plays with size. He's got 19 points in 14 games. Whether or not he'll be able to work his way up into the Oilers roster or remains to be seen. They've got a young team as well. But they certainly are leaning towards players that can play a heavy game, and at 6'2", 203, Beck can do that.
Awesome. Okay, let's not get this confused. Brad Hunt plays for Chicago, but Chicago is St. Louis's farm team in the AHL. So the Chicago Wolves are St. Louis. So we're going to say Brad Hunt plays for Chicago, but he's actually from St. Louis. And why are we talking about Brad Hunt? He is second overall in AHL scoring. Brad Hunt, what do you think, Peter?
Brad Hunt is a 28-year-old hockey veteran now, and he was signed to a one-year two-way contract. So he's got the ability to move up and down between the two leagues. But at 28 years old and playing for, you know, St. Louis, I think he's more of a career minor leaguer. So if you're looking to sign a free agent in your fantasy league and you're looking at the leading scores in the NHL and you see Brad Hunt, oh wow, who's that? He's got 20 points. No one owns him. There's a reason why. He's very unlikely to make the jump.
Sorry, Brad Hunt. I feel really bad for you. All right, Kyle Wood from Colorado.
Kyle Wood, he played his junior hockey in North Bay, so I got to see quite a bit of him. And he's a monster. He's 6'5", 209. He played last year with Cam Dineen. He was the defensive responsibility on that line to Cam Dineen's offensive play. And North Bay plays a defensive style of game as well. So he is not a liability in his own hand. And since joining the Roadrunners in his pro rookie season, he's got 14 games under his belt and 16 points, 4 goals. The guy's got a heavy, heavy shot. So he looks like he's a player that is going to be a really good pro player. He's got the size for it. He skates pretty good. He's got a heavy shot. He's good in his own end. The modern day NHL, I wouldn't say favors, but it's acceptable to smaller defensemen who can skate really well and transition the puck. And while Wood is more of a throwback to the old school big defensive defenseman, he can skate just fine, and his stats show that he can do offense and transition as well. So I think there's a role for him in the NHL.
All right, and what was his farm team?
He's a Roadrunner.
He's a Roadrunner? And yeah. So he's an Arizona prospect?
Yeah, he was drafted by Colorado, but he was part of a trade last year. Third round pick to Colorado. He was a third round pick by Colorado. Traded with Tanguay and Bleakley for Michael Boddicker.
Okay, and that's why I wanted to clear it up, because I thought he was still with the Colorado Avalanche, and I introduced him that way. So, yes, Kyle Wellwood is with the Coyotes playing for Tucson. Next up, another defenseman. It's crazy how many defensemen are putting up great numbers in the AHL, but Jordan Subban for Utica.
Yeah, Utica's a terrible team. They're just awful. But he's managed to score 14 points in 17 games. All the top-end prospects for Utica are defensemen, and Stetcher has been recalled to the NHL. It looks like he's not going to relinquish that position. I'm pretty sure he's still there. But Subban's an undersized player as well, but I think he'll be just fine in the NHL. I think he'll survive. He's got a great skating, and he's not afraid to play a physical game. Still needs to work on his defense a little bit. I saw him play when he was still in Belleville, and I interviewed him after the game. And late in the game, he drove the net real, real hard trying to score a goal in overtime. And he had a pretty nasty collision with the goalie. And I think he might have broke his nose because he cut the bridge of his nose. And I asked to have an interview with him after the game. And he came in and talked to me, and he's got blood running down his nose, down the side of his face. So he's a hockey player. He's a tough kid. It didn't really seem to bother him at all. And he had, you know, he had time to make for me and answer my silly questions. So I appreciated that. So ever since then, I've had a soft spot for Subban, and he's an offensive defenseman. He's maybe not as talented as his big brother, but I think he's got skills to play in the NHL.
Yeah, those are tough skates to fill for Jordan to try and fit into PKs. And that saying that he plays for Utica and they're a terrible team, that's why his -4 jumps off on the top scoring of defensemen. Everybody else is a plus, except for Kyle Wellwood, a -1. But his -4 is definitely the worst out of everybody, and the reason why, Utica Comets are just not that good.
Alex, the fact that he's only a -4, I think, is impressive.
Well, there you go. Alex Carrier, what is this kid like?
He was the captain for the Gatineau Olympiques in the Q last year, and he's a good player. He's a great skater. He's a good two-way defenseman. He's very versatile. He was their captain, and he's a little bit short, but he's not an undersized player. He's a strong player. He's got himself 14 points in his first 17 games and 3 goals as well, playing for Nashville's affiliate. Nashville knows a thing or two about drafting and developing defensemen. I'm pretty sure they're in a position where they can be patient and slow cook him and take their time on him. So if you own Alex Carrier in your fantasy league, you're going to have to keep him on your prospect bench for a while. But I think he's worth the investment.
Excellent. And let's stick with Nashville. They're known for all their defensive prospects and building defensemen, but I think they're a sneaky good goalie factory as well. They kind of bring in all kinds of really good goaltenders that kind of just get spread out throughout the league. So UC Saros is definitely one of those goalies that's in that factory right now.
He's got some eye-popping stats. He's played 10 games in the AHL this year. His record is 9-1. His one shutout to go along with his 9 wins. His goals against average is 1.59, and his save percentage is .945. I first caught wind of Saros playing in the World Juniors. The World Juniors is a great scouting opportunity for people in North America to learn about some European prospects. I saw Peter Mrazek playing at the World Juniors, fell in love. Saw Yu Saros playing in the Juniors, fall in love. And they're both panning out to be great professional North American goalies. And I don't think Yu Saros is long for the AHL. It's disappointing for him that that Pekka Rinne has had a nice bounce back season. But earlier in the year, I was thinking that it wouldn't take more than half a season for UC Saros to inherit the crease in Nashville. But given he's that good and his AHL stats will prove it, but I think Pekka Rinne is going to have a stay of execution based on his good play for now, but it won't be long for UC Saros.
Yeah, and he has been called up to the NHL. He got called up, and then when Pekka had his little scare incident that he didn't practice one day, and they gave the start to Marek Mezenik, and I think it was against Toronto, and he got lit up with six goals, I believe, and everybody was calling for Saros time. It was Saros time. But then Pekka-Rinne ended up not being as hurt as he was, and they sent Saros back to the AHL. Well, he's been called up again. Mazenik's sent down to the AHL. So Saros is sitting on the bench in Nashville. I wonder if it's going to kind of scare Pekka-Rinne. He's going to have a goalie pushing at his heels. And Saros has already had two games in the NHL and 1.02 goals against average, .965 save percentage. Yeah, Nashville has an amazing defense core and they don't get scored on a lot, but maybe it's not just Pekka-Rinne. Maybe it's the system, and like Saros is fitting into that system just as well as Pekka-Rinne. So maybe they cut bait with Rinne and try and get some talent back for him, because they know Saros is waiting in the wing. So could be a possibility.
Could be.
Casey DeSmith for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Matt Murray has moved up to the NHL. He's got the promotion. What's Casey DeSmith going to do?
Yeah, Casey DeSmith is a prospect who I didn't really know anything about before the season, and he's managed to play six games so far this year. He played NCAA as in junior, and last year he was split time between the AHL, where I think he played about six games, and the majority of the season in the ECHL. He's an undrafted prospect who hasn't signed a contract either. He signed a PTO with the Penguins this off season, and I guess they signed him to an AHL contract because that's where he's playing. But he has got some pretty impressive stats playing for Wilkes-Barre this year. He has got five wins in his six games with a 1.65 goals against average and a .938 saves. He's 6 foot, 181 pounds, so he's got good size. So the situation, though, is he's an unsigned prospect, but Pittsburgh is going to have to make a decision pretty soon on their NHL goalies. One of them is probably going to move on due to expansion one way or another. So Casey DeSmith is playing himself into contention for an NHL contract to be perhaps the backup in Pittsburgh next year to whoever. So he's obviously not someone who you either may not be able to add or wouldn't want to add in your fantasy pool right now, but he's someone who you might want to keep an eye on and maybe put on your watch list, just so you can might sneak him into your roster once something happens.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here and bring up Tristan Jarry, who's got 13 games played. He's got almost the same numbers as DeSmith with twice as many games. So maybe it's Wilkes-Barre Scranton's just a really good AHL team. So I wouldn't get too excited about DeSmith. I think Tristan Jarry's actually going to be the first one to get called up, just based on where they are in their goalie depth chart. But DeSmith is definitely putting up solid, solid numbers. But I think Tristan Jarry is... They're kind of playing a 1A, 1B, just like in Pittsburgh is playing 1A, 1B. I think Tristan Jarry's playing the role of Matt Murray. He's the better goalie, just not putting up as big in numbers. So that's where I'm going to play devil's advocate on you there, Peter.
I would agree with that. And I'm not saying that Casey Smith is going to be an eventual starting goalie in NHL and a Vezina Trophy winner or anything like that. I'm just, you know, he's come out of absolutely nowhere and he's playing relevant hockey for Wilkes-Barre, so he's just someone to watch.
Yep, excellent. Charlie Lindgren, our final goalie that we're going to rapid fire. What's Lindgren like?
Yeah, so this is another college player. He actually did sign a contract with Montreal as a free agent this summer, and he's made the jump to the pros, and he's got himself 13 games under his belt now. His record is 9-4-0. He's got a 2.22 goals against average and .933 save percentage. And he is tied with Saros with 9 wins as the most wins in the AHL.
Do you think Lindgren is stuck in Montreal's depth chart?
Well, he's got the Carey Price problem.
Yeah.
The best goalie in the world is the starting goalie ahead of him. So, you know, he's going to have to play a couple of seasons in the AHL. Maybe he gets an opportunity to come up and be the backup to Carey Price, but, you know, that doesn't really hold much fantasy value outside of a handcuff situation, and then, or you pray for Carey Price to get hurt. But if he plays really, really well in the AHL, and if he plays well in the NHL and when he gets an opportunity, you know, it could be a really good trade bait situation. And with the expansion coming and goaltending revolving door, that's going to be a product, a byproduct of expansion draft. you never know.
All right. That's our rapid fire of the AHL. We're going all AHL this whole episode, because in segment three, we're catching up with Zach Define. I'm pretty sure this guy sleeps in arenas. He goes to San Jose. He goes to Stockton. He sees pretty much all kinds of games. He comes into Ontario every once in a while, but he's from Northern California. His home base is the San Jose Barracuda, and we're going to catch up with him right after the break.
This show, we are going to be speaking with our guest, who is none other than Dauber Prospects scout writer Zach Define. Zach covers the San Jose Sharks prospects for us out in sunny California, and he also contributes some editorial content for us in the AHL monthly column as well. So let's get Zach on and talk some AHL prospects. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thanks for having me, guys. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. Let's get right into it. Your San Jose Barracudas is your home base. So should we start with Timo Meier? He's got to be at the top of the list of prospects. How's he looking? What's new with Timo?
Well, it's the hashtag for a lot of the San Jose Sharks fans is Timo time, and the countdown has definitely been on since Timo finished his career in the queue. He caught a bout of mononucleosis this summer, and it was definitely a setback. He nearly made the San Jose side back in 2015, but mono obviously takes a while to get through and then recover from. So he got a bit of a late start to the season. So far for the Barracuda, he has got 4 goals and 6 assists in 12 games played. And he's looked better and better. He definitely was shaking off a good bit of rust as he was coming back. Pretty much he had to have his own mini training camp while the season was going on. And he's physically one of the better wingers. San Jose doesn't have a lot of size up front on the Barracuda. And he's 6 foot, about 210 pounds, big, heavy winger. And he's got a good shot. He's got good offensive instincts. Everything that people have seen with him last year in the queue with the Huskies and the Moosehead is carrying over. What's been interesting with Meier, though, is kind of uncharacteristically, it's been some undisciplined play for the Barracuda. He's had a lot of retaliatory penalties. He's put his team on the penalty kill more than he should. And like any young player, he's having his issues in the defensive side. So it's good that he's in the AHL. He doesn't look out of place. But there's still some parts of his game that head coach Roy Sommer is rounding him out in. And it's still going to be a little bit, I think, before he's ready to make a big contribution to the parent club.
All right. So you were talking about sickness, and the Sharks are decimated with illness on the back end. Who could get a chance to jump into that lineup from the Barracuda?
Yeah, the Sharks have been dealing with a bit of a flu bug going around. Brendan Dillon was out,
DeMello.
DeMello finally got in. Thank you for a couple games for Paul Martin, and Vlasic had a little scary injury, but didn't miss any time. I think Tim Heed has really inserted himself in the conversation to be that first call up. It's his first year in North America. He was originally drafted back in 2010 by the Anaheim Ducks in the 5th round. I talked to him during rookie camp, and he never signed. And for him, it was he never even really considered it. He felt he had a lot to grow as far as a person and in his game. So staying in Sweden was really his plan. And he finally felt comfortable and ready to come over across the pond and give North America hockey a shot. And the Sharks sure are glad that he did. They were able to sign him back in April, and so far he's their leading defensive scorer. He's got 4 goals, 9 assists, played in every single game for the Barracuda, all 14. And he and Joakim Ryan have really cemented that top pairing for the Barracuda. Neither of them is very big, but both of them, and especially Heed, I think really exemplify what you're looking for in the modern NHL defender. You're looking for a guy that, you know, skates well, offensively creative, gets the puck up the ice. And both Heed and Ryan really excel in that. They have trouble down low at times when it really gets grinding with some of the bigger AHL teams. But in the transition game, Tim Heed really is carrying the mail for the Barracuda. And he's got a cannon of a shot. Just, I'm really surprised he hasn't broken somebody's ankles so far this year. Just a huge shot, right-handed defenseman. I think he would probably be the Sharks' first call-up on the back end.
Interesting. So you see these guys live playing for the Barracudas, Goldobin right. and O'Regan. Two quick points on these two guys.
Nikolai has really turned his game around, I think. This is the first sustained period where he's looked interested in his play away from the puck. He also has some talent around him, so I think that you're seeing the best parts of Goldobin's game. He's got 13 points. He's got some talent to play with and skate with, and it seems to finally be clicking for him. He looks much better of late than he did this summer, and especially over last year. But even last year, he still had, you know, 40-plus points, so it wasn't terrible, but this year he definitely looks to have taken a step forward. Danny O'Regan actually has already played a game for the Sharks. He got called up as their fourth-line center. His very first NHL shift was on the penalty kill, and if that doesn't show what a smart player he is, I don't know what will. He was a point-of-game player in the NCAA, and he's leading the Barracuda with 16 points already this season. Undersized, but very smart. Plays in all situations, can really be trusted to just go out there and get the job done.
All right, Zach. A couple of non-San Jose Barracuda players that I kind of wanted to get your take on. One player that I think is really fantasy relevant that a lot of guys saw his stats last year and maybe jumped on him in prospect drafts this year is defenseman Brandon Montour for San Diego. How's he looked this season? Is he within striking distance of making it to the NHL?
You know, Montour and Shea Theodore both started the season with the goals, and neither of them really made sense to me down there. Montour, kind of same as what we were discussing with Heed, is that new wave of defenseman. His zone exits when the puck is on his stick is really a strength. He runs the power play very well. He's prone to a defensive gaffe here and there, but he skates well and he's able to recover. And it's kind of it's not a comparable because I'm not a fan of those, but it's a bit like what Brent Burns offers to the San Jose Sharks, where what he offers on a positive side, on an offensive side, far outweighs the negatives in the defensive zone. Montour is never going to be a shutdown defenseman, but if you pair him well with a more defensively responsible guy, he's a right-handed shot that can put up good numbers and really help the team possess the puck.
Interesting. So your thought is that what's keeping him out of the NHL right now is more of a numbers game in on the Anaheim defense rather than his defensive liabilities?
Definitely. And I've tweeted about it quite a bit. Anaheim's got to move somebody, and ideally it's Kevin Bieksa, who really just looks like a boat anchor on that entire defensive side. I figure once Anaheim clears up some of that logjam, it's going to solidify Shea Theodore's spot, and I think Brandon Montour will get – he definitely is Anaheim's next call-up, and he's one of those players that once he gets his call-up and gets a few games to get his feet wet, I think he'll really hit the ground running.
Interesting. Okay. A couple of players from the Stockton Heat that I kind of wanted to get your take on. Mark Jankowski and Morgan Klimchuk. How are they looking? Do they have NHL upside in their game?
I think Jankowski definitely does, and he's currently with the Flames, if I remember correctly. He's only made it into one game. He's been in the press box. But, you know, he's one of those players that really benefited from going the NCAA route. He was very raw, but he won, an NCAA championship with the Providence Friars. He had 110 points in 148 games for Providence. He's already got 13 points this year and looked really good last year. I got to see all of his games once he signed with the Heat following his senior year. And he's huge. He's 6'4", 203 pounds, but skates well, very smart player. He's not going to wow you, but he's a player that can contribute. And he'll still need time at the AHL and NHL level, but I think he's closer to making that big step. It'll probably be a year or two before his potential is fully realized at that higher level, but he's got the ability to definitely hold down a middle six role.
All right. And how's Morgan Klimchuk been playing this year?
So Klimchuk's been interesting. Last year, he struggled. There was really no other way to put it. He did appear in 55 games, but only got 9 points up. This year, he's just looked like the player that we all remember back from his WHL days. He's already has 12 points in 15 games, 5 goals, 7 assists, which, you know, every single shift, he's making an impact. He's got decent size at 6'1", you know, but for him, it will be a bit of a numbers game. He plays the left wing, but he's taken that big step. He's only a 2013 draft pick. He's still got some time, but he's a player that definitely not this year, but potentially next year could start threatening for a roster spot. So it's a good player to identify, see if you can find some owner that isn't quite aware of what he was able to do, back in the WHL with Regina and Brandon, and stash on your prospect bench.
Okay, one last prospect I wanted to get your thoughts on it, how he's doing this season, is Sergei Tolchinsky. He was undrafted and signed by Carolina, and he started turning some heads once that happened. He was outstanding at their training camp. He's made the jump to pro this year. How's the transition going?
You know, Tolchinsky, this is actually his second professional year. Last year,
oh, my bad.
He had 14 goals, 22 assists. In 72 games, and he's very, very small, 5'8", 170 pounds, but he protects the puck exceedingly well. Last night, Carolina and Stockton played, and there were a number of times where against bigger defensemen, once against Rasmus Anderson, where just a bigger player should be able to just bowl him over. And the little size that he has, he uses very well to protect the puck. He's got great hands. He can stick handle, in a foam booth. I feel like he's a player that once he gets with a faster team, a more skilled team, he's going to be able to deploy all of his tools. It's just a matter of time before I think he really turns some heads and makes an impact for Carolina. I think he's a bit of a boomer or bust. He's not going to be able to survive, in that bottom six. Perhaps in a skilled third line role, that is how the NHL is going. So perhaps there, but he's going to have some skilled players to go alongside him.
Couldn't agree more with your thoughts on that. Zach, thanks very much for joining us. Why don't you tell everyone how they can find you on Twitter and where they can find all of your work, not just the Dauber Prospect stuff?
Well, all my work you can find on Twitter. That's where everyone's disseminating information. You can follow me at Zach the Bear, ZakkTheBear. I also do some San Jose writing for the Hockey Writers and some prospect updates for HockeyProfits.com.
And as I mentioned earlier, Zach does our AHL monthly roundup article and our feature section, and that'll be coming out on Monday, December 5th. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. Zach, thanks very much for joining us, bud.
Thanks so much, guys. Listen every week and love the show.
Enjoy the West Coast, Zach.
Yeah, enjoy the weather, buddy.
Well, Peter, we haven't had the chance to talk about the AHL with the CHL and the NCAA taking up pretty much all of our time. And don't forget all the NHL rookies that are just playing outstanding. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this AHL episode. We will be back in a few weeks talking about more prospects, reaching ever so close to the World Juniors. It's going to be awesome. We would like to thank Zach Devine for spending some time with us covering all things AHL. And we also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to produce a podcast, so please continue to listen. Check out Episode 7 show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR07. Email any prospect fantasy questions to prospectradio at dauberprospects.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And please don't forget to give us a 5-star review and share our podcast with anybody who may be interested. It helps the show immensely. You can follow us on Twitter at DPR_show, myself at Zwombeck, Peter at P Harling, P-H-A-R-L-I-N-G. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.